Listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
This episode is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Radio Meters program.
Hello and welcome back to the Orca Man broadcast. We have a new time slot now, so I'll be seeing you on bi-weekly Mondays starting today at 4 o'clock PST here on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm so excited to have you back. Today is going to be a very fun day. It's going to be the first time that I'm going to share some of my favorite music with regard to killer whales, as well as some clips from the podcast and some different guests that I've had on over the past year since I've had this whole thing going on. So without further ado, I'm going to get into the start, just starting at the very, very beginning with a song called Namu. Now, Namu was originally a whale that was caught up in Namu, British Columbia, and was transported then down all the way to Seattle. And Namu was the first killer whale that was actually ever purchased. So the captures began shortly after that with a whale that we all know very well, Shamu, the star of the SeaWorld Enterprise. But this is where it all began. And later today, we'll get into some other songs, like I said, soundtracks, as well as an amazing guests. We have Taryn and Victoria and Kendra, and I believe that's all, and one of Erica's songs. So, once again, without further ado, welcome to Namu.
Come all you good people and hear my story concerning Namu the killer whale. I'll tell you some things that are bloody and gory, and thereby hangs a tale.
Live and let nature be your teacher, respect the life of your fellow creature. Live and let live whatever you do, and always remember the killer whale Namu.
It happened one time in the northwest waters. Two fishermen some whales they spied. They shot one whale, a 6-ton female. She swam to the shore and she died. Her mate swam behind her, trying to find her, and oh, how he cried and he mourned. Until Hank Donner, he happened upon her, and upon her mate so forlorn. Live and let nature be your teacher. Respect the life of your fellow creature. Live and let live, whatever you do, and always remember the killer whale Namu. Big Joe and Bert, they both tried to hurt Namu, the giant of the sea. But Hank grabbed Bert's rifle, said, boys, don't you trifle. This whale and this cove are for me. So Hank placed a net in the waters so wet, and the townsfolk were scared through and through. But little Isa Rand lent Hank a helping hand, and they both made friends with Namu. Live and let live, let nature be your teacher. Respect the life of your fellow creature. Live and let live, whatever you do, and always remember killer whale Namu. But soon there begun that big salmon run, and Big Joe took after Namu. But before Joe could kill Namu, he did spill Big Joe and his boat in the blue. But Namu, he did save Big Joe from the waves, and the whale heard the great ocean call. Then everybody knew that the killer whale Namu, he wasn't a killer at all. Live and let live, let nature be your teacher. Respect the life of your fellow creature. Live and let live, whatever you do, and always remember the killer whale Namu.
That was The Ballad of Namu by Tom Glaser. So that also started out because Namu was one of the first killer whales to have his own movie. So the movie is just called Namu, My Best Friend and Tales, a tale not too different from Namu's life himself. Namu was captured and everybody thought that he was dangerous. And then one man, Ted Griffin, showed the world otherwise. In Namu, the movie, he was freed. However, in real life, he sadly died in captivity before the film was able to be released. That being said, not too long afterwards, and when I not too long, that was 1966. In 1999, Free Willy comes out. So, as an homage to that, here is the main title. Thank you. Wow, I really do. I'm always amazed by that soundtrack, I have to say. There was one time back, I think it was 5 years ago, I usually will bring people down with me to go to Friday Harbor, and we'll go get nachos at Haley Sports Bar and Grill, just a way to get out of the city for a day. And there was one time that I rented a car and began to go down, and no one else was with me, so I just played the Free Willy soundtrack all the way through, and it was one of the best days that I can say that I've had. Now, switching out of music, though, this is a conversation that I had with one of UBC's Marine Mammal Research Unit's master's students. This is Taryn Scarf, and I talked with Taryn about her work in the previous few summers with the program. So, without further ado, I'll let you go for that. How did you get into, so if you went into applied biology and LFS, like, I'm going to go even further back now. How did you start on that process? Because this is, it seems like it's a long time.
It is. So I actually have a very long road to get to UBC. So okay. I actually graduated high school in 2012.
Okay.
So I graduated in 2012 and I wanted to be a musician. So, So I wanted to go to school for music.
Okay.
But then the summer before college and university was supposed to start, I decided I didn't want to do that anymore. Okay. So I ended up going to business school instead.
Yeah.
Very similar, right?
so close, right.
Yeah.
Not a question.
So I went to business school for a couple of years, and it kind of got to a point in business school where I had to pick what major I wanted to do, whether it be like accounting, management, marketing. And that's kind of a point where I took a step back and realized that there wasn't one thing that was drawing me to it. Like, I wasn't passionate about marketing or finances or anything.
Like, the idea of business was cool.
Yeah. And I was kind of, I thought it was like a good general thing to just know in life.
Yeah.
And I thought I could figure it out along the way. But at that point, I realized maybe this isn't the best fit for me right now.
Makes sense.
So I took a year off. I went traveling and worked with a few friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided, and it was kind of one of those things that everyone else knew, but I never clued into, that I wanted to work with animals. So I decided I wanted to work with animals after my year off. Mm-hmm. I'd worked for many different animal organizations since like grade 11.
Yeah.
And I'd always had this big love for animals.
Okay.
So that's when I found the UBC Animal Welfare Program.
All right.
Just by like Googling.
Yeah.
And looking stuff up. And I decided that I wanted to go there. But I still, at that point, this would have been 2014. I made this decision, I think.
Yeah.
2014, 2015. But when I was in high school, since I was in music and was planning to be a musician, I hadn't taken any of my science courses.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's rough.
So I had to go back and upgrade. So I had to do like all of my chemistry, physics, biology, everything. And then I finally applied to UBC and started in UBC in 2016.
Okay. That's a wild story. What music or what was it in music that you were looking to study? Was it a singular instrument or was it something a little bit broader?
Yeah, so I was a drummer, actually. Very
nice.
Shocking. Yeah. Looking at me, you would not guess that I was used to play the drums.
Oh, that's fantastic, though.
Yeah, so they were a ton of fun, and I wanted to go in to like pursue music as a career. So be a musician, either a music teacher. Musical therapy was a big thing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up playing for a big orchestra in Canada. And that's when I decided that I don't think it was really the fit for me. It was super competitive.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah, because I mean, you think musicians, like jobs for musicians, there aren't that many.
No, well, also too, like for those kinds of stuff, I can only imagine like there's only so many and there's like a ton of people that are trying to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was from a really small town and I didn't really get the full grasp of everything until I went and played in this orchestra. And then at that point decided it wasn't for me. It was more of just a side passion kind
of thing. Yeah. I'm impressed genuinely that you like you were able to pursue it far enough that you got to the, like, I would call it, so to speak, end, because in my head, once you're in an orchestra, you can kind of like, I can grow my network now and have it set up.
but you go like, that's amazing that you got there and were like, okay, no, we're going to reassess. I give you a lot of props for that, because not a lot of people can make it to that degree of something and then decide to switch.
Yeah. And it was tough because I'd applied to all these music schools and gotten in, and that was kind of my plan. Mm-hmm. And then I'm sure my parents loved me when in June I was like, yeah, I don't want to go anymore. I want to do something else. So it was tough because all of the like applications to universities had closed at that point. It was starting in 2 months, and mm-hmm. I decided that I didn't want to go. So I just went to a community college near my hometown and worked my way up from there.
Fair. All right. So you also mentioned the UBC Animal Welfare Program earlier. Is that an academic program, or is it like the Marine Mammal Research Unit, where it's a section of UBC research or something to that degree?
Yeah. So it's within Land and Food System. It's the graduate program there. So so you can go and do a graduate degree at UBC in animal welfare.
Okay. Gotcha. That's fantastic. One of the things that I've like over my couple years, because initially I thought I was going to go into some semblance of research and then found geography and gone from there. But watching what I want to do change over time has been something that's always been interesting, because I've seen some people go straight through. But even looking at the animal welfare program, was there a point where you switched? Because the Marine Mammal Research Unit is not the same explicitly from that.
Yeah. So like I said, I used to work for a bunch of animal organizations like the BCSPCA, and that's kind of, I was very passionate about animal welfare.
Yeah.
And so that's, I went into UBC thinking that that's what I wanted to go into as my field. I'd always had this love of marine mammals. Mm-hmm. Even though I grew up on a lake.
Nice.
No marine mammals.
No, not quite that far.
But I would like come to the Vancouver Aquarium when I visited family here. And I'd always had this love for marine mammals. But as I went through UBC, I was kind of told that it's really hard to get into marine mammal research and anything really. So I kind of had put it on the back burner and was looking at other options. Mm-hmm. And I honestly didn't ever really know what my end dream job was really going through UBC. I just knew it wanted to revolve around animal welfare, animals of some kind. And hopefully research is what I learned in like third and fourth year when I got to take those research-based classes.
Yeah. Well, then I'm giving you like all of the applause in the world right now, because you're sitting exactly where you should be then.
Yeah, I'm honestly, I feel like I'm the luckiest person to be here. And it's just being in the right place at the right time, meeting the right people.
Also putting in the right
work.
So
many opportunities.
No, without a doubt. Well, because like there's only, I know I took a bunch of science courses coming up, but it was chemistry in my first year of university that kind of took me off the path of science in particular. And to go back and like finish high school courses in order to get into the science department, it also shows the drive that you'll have to get to a place where you want to be.
Yeah. Like, and sincerely. It was tough because at that point I would have been like 21, I think. So I was 21 taking high school courses, which was fun. That's a good word for it. And then when I started at UBC, I was 22. So whereas most people are starting when they're like 17, 18, I was already 22 at the time. So
when you came in, did you go into first year housing or did you immediately try to go somewhere else?
No. So I felt like I was a little too old to go and live in the residences there.
Fair.
I actually had family. I have a lot of family that lives in Vancouver. So I was lucky enough to live with an aunt throughout 3 years of my undergrad, which was very lucky in Vancouver, especially.
Shout out auntie.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's phenomenal. No, that's more than fair. Where did you end up doing? Did you go back to whatever high school to finish the courses, or was there somewhere else that you
didn't? Yeah, so you can upgrade any high school courses at like colleges. I was living in Kelowna at the time.
Nice.
So I just did my high school sciences usually at night classes at Okanagan College in Kelowna.
UBC's Museum of Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of Indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
What do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen, and then get riding.
Hello, and welcome back to the Orca Man broadcast here on CITR 101.9. FM. I have done a lot as the Orca Man thus far on social media and otherwise, but one of my favorite developments has been speaking to one particular classroom in Miami. The Miss Vicky reached out to me about the beginning of my journey, and I finally got to sit down with her and talk about our experiences in terms of teaching and otherwise. Without a further ado, Miss Vicky.
Once they heard the word orca, my boss immediately calls me down and goes, I know it's you. Like what? Like what? She's like, there's no one else in this building that could rattle children so much so to speak about anything. She's like, you have literally gotten the children to ban plastic straws from the cafeteria, refuse to use plastic utensils. She's like, I know it's you. She's like, there's no other like way, like there's no other human.
So wait, hold up. So this is a little bit different now too. In the school this year, and is this like what have the kids done in terms of that? Because I know you said earlier that like you're like, oh, if you bring plastic stuff in, we're not going to watch the Orca Man today. But changing the school policy is a little bit different.
So I'm very pro zero waste. You're like minimizing our waste as much as possible.
Definitely.
Like I have bamboo utensils, I have a reusable water bottle, I have a reusable coffee cup. Like the kids awesome. Know that I'm very like pro like trying to reduce our waste. And this little boy noticed I was wearing like I had like a bracelet with a turtle on it. Mm-hmm. So I goes, do you like turtles? I was like, yeah, I do. I really like the ocean. And he was like, oh yeah, like I stopped using plastic straws because they're bad for the turtles.
Yeah.
And the kid behind him asked him like how. And that kind of became like the conversation. And I was like, okay, I like where this is going. I was like, yeah, we can't use turtles. Well, everyone knows the picture with like the turtle with the straw on the nose. And I was like, but it goes beyond that, you guys. Like, this is an issue. Like, microplastics exist. They're real. We eat about 4 pounds of them in a year.
Yeah.
All of them sitting there like, I'm 10. I've eaten 40 pounds of plastic in my life. Like, yeah, imagine me that I'm old. I'm older than you guys.
A little bit different.
Yeah, so they were like, and then two of them, like, went to the principal. And they asked her, they were like, do we have to have plastic straws in the cafeteria? I don't like them. And she was like, well, yeah, because of the milk. And this kid goes, but we don't really need them. And the lady was like, you know, our principal's like, well, what do you mean? And she's like, but we really don't need them. They're very, the ones they would give them were very thin and flimsy anyways.
Sure.
So then our kids like as a collective whole wrote to the county, and the county as a collective whole, which I'm very proud of them, stopped using plastic straws.
The county?
Yeah, like they took it so far as to tell their older siblings and their friends, and a bunch of kids were writing to the county. It just became a countywide movement, and the whole county stopped using plastic straws.
All because you wore a bracelet.
Right. I don't know if that was like the sole reason, but like
my school
took part in like, I know we were one of the schools that reached out to the county, and the county was impressed because they were so young and so like eloquently written in their research. Like the kids were like, no, because you know, the oceans and the turtles. And this one kid actually wrote about microplastics.
Yeah.
Because I had talked to him about it. And he like went home and like looked up what they were. And he like even wrote in his letter to the county, to the district, like, you know, they're in our soil. So like, even as we consume vegetables, like they're there.
Yeah.
And it just, it made me so proud. All because I wore a bracelet with a turtle on it, which I wear all the time. It's the smallest things that you don't even think that they notice.
Yeah.
That they really do. And they'll ask you questions.
Not only that, but like, I think the most fascinating part of that entire saga for me is the kid behind him who asked how.
Yeah.
He's like, oh no, the like plastic straws is bad for the turtles. He's like, wait, how does that work? Because that, like, thinking on that kind of level critically as a fifth grader, that's something that, like, I didn't get until mid to late high school, even personally. Like, understanding the full, like, supply chain, where it goes after waste and things like that, and, like, understanding that it's a totality, like, that's fantastic to see that that's the interest.
I love and hate the internet at the same time, because I know he didn't come to that conclusion on his own.
Yeah.
I know he had to have seen it via TikTok or Instagram, or all of them are like on literally most social media platforms. So like, I know he saw it somewhere.
Of course.
And I'm assuming he took interest in, or he felt bad for the turtles or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then he kind of like, cause he knew a little bit about what I was talking about with microplastics.
Yeah. He was able to like keep up at least with the conversation.
Yeah. Like he understood what I was trying to say. And he like kind of described it to the kid behind him in a way that a 10-year-old would be able to understand it.
That's
great, because I was like, this kid is going places in the future.
He is. And that's also one of the biggest things that I'm trying to wrap my head around the more that I like actively enter the field of orcas and marine science and the rest, is like, people talk about conservation in very weird ways. And a lot of the big conservation that happens is very like, write to your senators, write to your congressmen, write to like, write or like act in certain ways and like reduce your own personal waste. But the social aspect is not as heavily tapped into as it could be. Like the kids in the county focusing on the schools probably did more than 20 people or like a group of adults that would try to gather together and talk to it. If only because the kids are the ones that are being immediately affected and like within the school system.
Yeah, I think that's really why the county paid attention, because I think the kids, I know it was our school and a bunch of like our whole feeder pattern.
Yeah.
So feeder patterns here in our district are made up of those three high schools. So you have about 9 schools, because most of us know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all texting each other, hey, you know, our kids are writing to the county about plastic straws.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, let me ask my kids their opinion. And it became like our feeder pattern did it. And I know a couple other feeder patterns did it. So you have like 20 something schools writing to the county, begging them to stop using plastic straws. And we're the largest county in the country, like the largest school district in the country.
That's insane.
Kids are begging the county to be like, stop. Like, we're a huge county as it is.
Yeah.
You have millions of students using plastic every day.
And that's one way to end it. I hope that they understand the like breadth of impact that has, because that not only affects them, that affects every iteration of classes that comes after them too.
Yeah.
Like there are lobbied politicians that can't do that stuff. Like there are people that like, that's their entire job and they can't get the job done.
I think it's just because they're kids, and I think they showed such an adamant interest in all of this.
Yeah.
That it really made an impact. Cause I think like, even my boss like stepped back and was like, these kids really care. I'm like, yeah, because I talk to them and they actually like enjoy like what I have to say. I explained to her that there was a TikTok page, like, that you are who you are.
Yeah.
She was like, that's so strange that the kids, and I was like, leave it be. Like,
it's outside of the classroom. And when it is, they're
at home. I was like, what they find on TikTok is at home. I was like, if they come in to show me the next day, it's different.
Yeah. No, it's not immediate from there. That's crazy. All right. So they've banned plastic straws. So you also mentioned that each classroom next year is going to have an orca adoption. If I'm right, if I hear that right?
Yes, because it became such a phenomenon, and all my coworkers were asking me, like, what, like, how did you manage to get the kids so interested in something? I was like, honestly, it started with one little girl, seeing a TikTok, showing me the TikTok, and then her friends becoming interested in who this person was and what he does. And, you know, I was like, they're actually interested in it. It's something that is a fun activity, because I know the classroom pack comes with, like, worksheets and stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
I was like, you know, after testing, it's like a good, even before, we could do it as like a whole year activity, you know, and you can, as a side activity, because they're, even kindergartners were like interested in like orcas and what they were.
Just in general, as like an animal.
Yeah, they were it's big. It's huge. That's insane. Think the biggest shocker to kinder was that the white patch is not an eye.
Oh yeah, because that's a wild concept even to me now.
What? They were like, that's not their eye. I was like, no, that's not their eye. And then even one of the ladies that works with me, she literally came up to me and she was like, I had no idea that orcas were like this. And I was, you know, the kids were talking about dorsal fins and how big they really are.
Yeah.
And like how big orcas actually are. And she came up to me, she goes, you know, I've been to this aquarium almost once a year for Lolita's entire captivity, and I have not once like realized how big she actually is.
Yeah. It takes a lot. Sometimes it takes kids or a village.
It is truly amazing what kids can do when they put their minds together. I will say it on time and time again, this first year that I have developed a platform as the Orca Man, interacting with Miss Vicky's classroom and that whole school district, has been one of my favorite parts, hands down. It really, this year didn't exist without it, and is actually something that I'm going to be working towards going in the future. So if you would like me to come and talk anytime soon, be sure to check all of my profiles for information on how to do that. Going forward in this broadcast, though, I'm going to play next a clip of me talking with Kendra Nelson. Now, Kendra and I have worked together in social media, which is exactly what we're going to be talking about.
Also, too, you have one of the best, I'll call it, marine bio followings that I've seen on TikTok. When did you start?
I think I started in 2019, when my lab, I caught an octopus for our lab. And so I started posting videos of her because she was funny. And those, like, I got like 40k views on a couple of them, and I was like, wow, I'm hot shit. And then I did not post for a long, long time after that.
Yeah.
And, or like, I just post for fun, where I was just like, oh, my cute kitten, look how cute he is. Oh, I went to like Washington and got engaged, and like posted that last summer. And then I started like posting more regularly, probably in July of 2020.
Okay.
Or August, while I was in quarantine in Hawaii. And then it just was like, I know a lot of people want to do this field, so I'm just gonna start posting stuff about it and answering questions, because there's a lot of things that are misunderstood about the field.
Fair.
Or people are really intimidated, or their parents say it's horrible, whatever, that just trying to dispel. And be, and part of it too is everyone's like, there's no jobs, you don't get a job after graduating. And I'm like, there's no major that guarantees you a job day after graduation. It's all on you. I mean, my husband's an accountant, and he struggled, and like, accounting is, I feel like, one of those majors people are like, oh, there's so many jobs.
You're fine.
But it's like, it matters what you do. And the part of it is, a lot of people just go to school and get their degree. And so I wanted to share, you need to be proactive the whole time. And that's how you get into this field. It isn't just your degree. And that's a lot of the problem. That's the mentality, because a lot of other degrees kind of work that way. It's your grades that really set you apart. You don't need to maybe have a ton of relative experience in terms of a job or internship. Definitely. They're always encouraged, I think, in every field, but I know a ton of people that never did an internship in their major and had a job pretty easily. Yeah. And so I was like, that's not the case for this, for STEM, and especially for environmental science.
Oh, without a doubt.
Sadly, but just to encourage that and bring more attention to it so people can get into this field, but with a realistic idea of what to do.
More than fair. I think the realistic is the biggest thing. It's one of the most romanticized, I'll call it, yes, degrees that I've seen.
Well, and I definitely played my part in that. I'm also a free diver.
Yeah.
And so a lot of my stuff is from my free time. Like, mm-hmm, most of my underwater videos are from free time.
Yeah.
I dove like every week, sometimes multiple times a week. And I also was like, oh, look at this animal. And I'd pick it up and make it into something marine sciencey, but it wasn't for my job, which people, yeah, were like, your job's amazing. And I'm like, this is not my job. It's a part of my life. And yeah, like, it applies to what I do, but it is not my job. I'm not paid generally to go diving. There were a few times I was to film stuff for online COVID school.
Nice.
Where we would go out and film labs. Me and my coworker and my professor, we'd go film a lab and then put it online for students to feel like they were there.
Nice.
So I was paid this last semester I was in to go out in the field, but like once a month. And it wasn't always fun. Like, we woke up at like 3 a.m. one morning just so we could hit low tide. And
so
my professor almost drove us off the road. And we like legit were like, okay, we almost like died right then. And then we got egg burritos and it was fine.
There you go. That's a nice little tip at the end of it.
Yeah. But I was like, it's not, even then, like, it was fun, but I came home and that was one of the days I posted, I think, my first video that got a million views. I literally came home. Sick. I was like, oh, I told people I'd make like a field work day video. So I made a field work day video. And then I made one that was like, welcome to marine biology TikTok. And it was like all aesthetic stuff. And then I took a nap for like 2 hours and I woke up and I had like 40,000 new followers and the video had, I don't even know how many views. And I was like, what happened? I literally spent 2 minutes, and the video that I spent like, I want to say 30 minutes making, which was my field day video.
Oh yeah.
Like, I woke up at 3 a.m. We drove in the car, you know, like a day in my life. That one had like 1,000 views. And I was like, are you kidding? The one I threw together got... That's always how it works too. But I was
that's like the crux of TikTok.
Yeah. So I was like, cool, awesome. And that's when I think I hit 100K from that video.
Nice.
And I was like, wow, thank you.
It's like, I'll take that.
Okay.
No, more than fair. I can remember in the beginning when I first started, because I started in like January, and I spent for the first like 10 or so videos, each one took me 2 hours at least, because I was like, I'm gonna think through it, I'm gonna try all these things.
Yeah.
And then there was one day where
think through platform.
No, it's not. I was lying in bed one day and I was like, I was spewing off whatever thought I had, and that one was the one that ended up doing well. I'm like, okay,
yeah,
okay,
it's very finicky. And that's where I'm like, I'm not even gonna like try and make some videos that I'm like, oh, this has thought into it. But then I'm like, whatever. I know that video is going to get like, obviously it'll hopefully hit my core audience that are there for information. But a lot of people are just 100%. Like, pretty video, follow. And then I'll lose followers and they're like, oh, never mind.
You're not just pretty videos?
Yeah, so I'm not. I am no longer in Hawaii and I haven't dove for months. So I don't have new footage to show people.
Well, that's the thing about the app too, though, is like, I've found is like, reposting is an easy thing. And then more than that too, like, it, I don't know, it will take what you throw at it at the end of the day.
I've had some people comment, be like, you shouldn't post so many of those welcome to marine bio TikTok videos. And I'm like, that's how I get followers, people. They're going to be here. I'm still going to do them. I know they're annoying because I do them like, I've actually slowed down just because there haven't been good audios to do them to. Fair. But I'm like, that's what gets people here. And
yeah,
sorry, that's part of my mojo, is getting people here and then getting them to stay.
No, there's a duality to it. I remember like there was one that I posted recently. It was a Harry Potter one. I saw the video of the dude who put a sword in his hair and like kept it up as a bun. And that one was for shits. That one was like, it was 10 o'clock at night. And I was like, oh, I can put my hair up into a wand. This will work. Yeah. And it did. And then I, like, it was the same kind of thing. I fell asleep and I woke up. I was like, really? It's like, of all the ones. Yeah. And it was like a crap quality too.
Well, that was the shark exposing one.
Yeah.
Both of them I just made thinking like no one would see them. Mm-hmm. For the one where I was laughing at the one female influencer we were talking about, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is just funny. And I know this, like, I also work in digital marketing. And so I know this picture.
Of course.
I have used this picture when I was in backgrounds of like Instagram stories and stuff.
Yeah.
For my marine science club on my campus. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, I just know this photo. And that's how I noticed. I don't think most people would notice that this was a very Photoshopped image.
Yeah.
And then people, it got a ton of views and I was like, okay, that was not my intention. And then people were going onto her page and like tagging me being like, you are exposed. And I was like, no, don't put my freaking name. No, that's not what I'm doing. I literally, and plus she had even tagged the Photoshop, the person who edited it. So I don't think it was supposed to be a secret that I was like, she's not, I don't think she cares that it's Photoshopped. And she tagged the guy. And if you go to his account, it says Photoshopper. So he's very clearly aware of what he does.
More than fair.
So yeah, I was like, people,
it's just funny.
And then people were like getting mad. And they're like, why are you taking down another? Why are you degrading a woman? I'm like, I wasn't. This oh my gosh.
Why don't you actually fucking read?
I said no shade and they're like, no shade, but throw shade. And I was like, whatever. But I was like, it's innocent shade. If someone did it to me, I'd think it's funny.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, I've definitely edited some of my photos, but they're very obvious because obviously I'm not surrounded by like nets all the time.
Fair.
And so I'm like, it's part of it. I haven't, like, she's an influencer. Get your coin. I understand that. I have no issue with it. She had a great 100%. Caption too. So like, calm down. So then I just put it on private. I was like, whatever. My friends can see this now.
There you go. I like with those kinds of things, like when I'm already thinking, trying to think ahead for like any situations that might occur. If anything like that happens, it's like anyone shouldn't care unless it's the person talking to you.
Yeah.
Like unless I hear it from her, like, whatever. Like,
yeah, I was just like, I don't think she cares. Like, and people were commenting on her post far before I even saw it. Like, dude, this is Photoshopped. Someone who is like an editor was like, the light composition is off, which it was. If you like looked at it, it made no sense. And so he was like, you don't even need to like understand, like have seen this photo before. A ton of editors will see it and be like, dude, why didn't you pick a different picture? Like, this doesn't look cohesive.
Fair.
So I was like, I'm not the only one calling her out. So whatever. It's okay. It's fine.
I'll bring it back to Instagram. Congrats on 10K. I saw that recently.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, just a little fancy.
If you haven't yet, be sure to go over to Instagram and check out Intertitle Kendi's page. She also has pages on TikTok and Twitter. I know she's active on all three. It's a lot of fun. She does a lot of great content. If you want to see more, more podcast episodes from the Orca Man podcast, you can check them out on Spotify, YouTube, or your favorite podcast streaming platform. Closing up this hour, though, we're going to switch back to music, starting with Orca Demise by my friend Erica Worth down in Monterey Bay. Now, in her words, she doesn't know if any normal person would want to hear it, but the one thing that I do know is that she loves killer whales just about as much as anybody I know. And as the Orca Man, that's a good amount of people. Afterwards, we'll finish off with some Michael Jackson and his songs that he made for Free Willy. And with that, I want to let Erica take it away.
Coming out of my wave and I'm not doing just fine. Gotta bring down the dams, they gotta fall. It started out with a fish, how did it end up like this? It was only a fish, it was only a fish. Now you may call me weak, but I am not a crab. You may think it's a joke, but for real this is bad. A lot of us are dead and we're sick of your ship. Pollutants all in my head, but if you bring the dams down, salmon free to chow down, let them go. I need to eat. to whales and demise. Our oceans have been compromised, but we are the ones who pay, dying slowly in the sea. Open up, Snake River, guys. This is Orca Demise. Coming out of my wave and I'm not doing just fine. Gotta break down the dam. Seriously, fuck those walls. It started out with a fish. How did it end up like this? It was only a fish. It was only a fish. All these people sailing and it's making me sad. Pollutants making us choke. RIP to my dad. Plastics in our seabeds. Moby's not the real dick. If the humans instead wish that we could rest now. Feeling pretty stressed out, emotions. My fins are hooked, you're grilling me. Check out my blowhole. Marine debris all up inside of me. We have time to improvise. It's critical we multiply. Please pick up the phone today. Call Governor Inslee. We need him to sympathize, or else we will all die.
Right here. This could be my family, dude. See what your plastic's doing, my dude? Bruh, you need to stop.
That's a bird.
This is flipping overboard. I'm over it.
But that's a bird.
Listen, I don't eat birds. My cousins in Antarctica eat penguins, but I don't eat birds. I eat salmon. But still, that's my fluking friend. And you just like came all up in here with your plastic. You might like to get choked, but he doesn't. So just
put RIP in the sand again.
Rip. It's like my dad. That's my dad. You killed my dad. I can't eat birds. I need the salmon. You just saw that.
You seen my childhood? I'm searching for the world that I come from. 'Cause I've been looking around in the lost and found of my heart. No one understands. Cities, 'cause I keep kidding around.
to compensate for the child. I've never known you seen my childhood. I'm searching for that wonder in my youth, like pirates in adventurous dreams, a conquest and kings on a throne. Before you judge me,
Jordan, and I will then say to thee, you are my friend. Carry me like you are my brother. Love me like a mother. Will you be there? Find me. But they told me I meant to be fair.